Hi, everybody. This is Tracy. Today, we are going to talk about ways to tell if you are losing yourself in a relationship. So often, when we are with a high conflict person, a narcissist, an abuser, we tend to lose ourselves. Little bits of us get compromised to help them and to be there for them. And suddenly, our own passions start to go down. We don't have them. We don't know what to do. And when you look at reclaiming your life, whether you're in a relationship with someone or you're out of it and you're trying to find out who the heck you are, my next guest, you might have met her here before, Joanna Lynn, is an amazing therapist and a person that works in ways that have helped me. And she's going to talk in a second about what she's done and what we've done together. But let's welcome Joanna and let's just talk about how do we tell if we're losing ourselves in a relationship and how do we get ourselves back? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be here with you, Tracy.
I know that we've done a video together before, but I would love it if you could tell my audience exactly what you do.
Yeah. So my work is all about the family imprint, this idea that we are very much, of course, influenced by our family of origin, but it goes so much further than that. Now, through science, we know that we are definitely imprinted at the DNA level with all of our family's experiences, traumas, perspectives, even way of looking at the world. So this is very much a part of how we show up in relationship and how our life goes, looking at how our family has influenced us.
Wow, that was so powerful. I took a course with you, and as you were saying that, the course flashed back in my mind. I don't know if you saw it, but it was there, and I was like, oh yeah, look at all this stuff I learned. Mm-hmm. It was a course on the money. What was the name of it? Did you have any?
Yeah. So it was about rise. So rising into this understanding of our inner relationship with money and how much of that is influenced by some of these invisible sort of experiences, things that we might not consciously remember, but our body holds the record for.
Yeah. And I am very much looking forward to listening to that again. And that was one of the great benefits of doing the course, was I can go back and I can listen to the things that you said, the interactions we had with other people, and just refresh myself on how I deal with money, because I found a lot of interesting things out in that course.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It's never about the money. It's actually a lot more.
Yeah, but it's like it bubbles up. That was the part that was so amazing to me, that it just bubbles up. Mm. All right, today we have a great topic. We are going to talk about ways to tell if you're losing yourself in a relationship. Mm. Because as you know, like when you're with a narcissist, you tend to become more compliant with them. You do tend to lose yourself. So let's start off by giving me something, give me an idea of how do people begin to lose themselves?
I think if you notice inside of your relationship that you start sort of agreeing to whatever they want in order to not rock the boat, there's a number one sign. You know, we begin that, it doesn't start off in the relationship that we're walking on eggshells, but you know, what is that first noticing where, oh, I better not say that because I don't want the backlash. Or if I share this differing opinion, you know, where are we going to go? I don't want this to get into a full-blown argument. And so in that moment, are we kind of hiving off a part of ourselves just to stay in the relationship?
Yeah. And I know that we tend to compromise our own needs. Mm. That's one of the, you know, as we become people pleasers and doing for our other person who very well may be a narcissist or not. You could lose yourself in any kind of relationship. Cool. But when you start to kind of compromise what you want, and you're settling for what they want a little bit more often, and your needs become dwindled down to nothing, and suddenly you have no passions, you have nothing that you want to do because your life is revolving around a core. And if it's around a core of a narcissist, you're just sort of a slave person, if you would.
Yeah, that's well said. I mean, it really breaks it down to how many of your listeners may feel. Mm-hmm. I think to add to that, there may be a lot of red flags that one might see as we get deeper into that love, into that relationship, where we're now walking on eggshells, but we've also lost that sense of trusting our own gut instinct. We're turning down the dial on our intuition in order to just be able to stay in the relationship. You know, if I turn my back towards that red flag, then that means I don't have to do anything now today to address it.
Right. And those red flags tend to like get you right away, even though we cover them and we put them on the back shelf. It is our intuition that's knocking on ourselves. It's our body telling us there's something wrong here. Start paying attention. And, you know, when we start to lose ourselves, it isn't very sudden. People think, oh, you lost yourself. No. It's something that when we start off, everything's perfect, as in any relationship, the love bombing and the excitement of new love. But slowly, you might be isolated from your family and your friends. And that's a big part of them having control, but in you losing yourself. Because going out with your best friends and, you know, seeing a movie or having a cup of coffee is what gives us the inside, like the zone in our bodies that's for friendship and love. We need to fill that. We can't just rely on someone else to fill it.
Exactly. When we do, we put ourselves in such a dangerous position because we've only got that one source, and then we are isolated, and we're kind of, that's just another indicator of we're losing ourselves. We're stepping away from what's really important to us. And another thing your listeners might notice is, are there repetitive arguments? Are you getting stuck in that same, maybe he's defensive or you're defensive, the same kind of topics come up, but instead of really looking at the source, it's just kind of pushing back or hoping that the next argument doesn't explode in the same way that it did last week or yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so as you know, Tracy, the work that I do is all about getting to the source. How do we understand what's really at play here so that we're not just, you know, losing ourselves or stuck in a place where we can't get any further?
I think when you said stuck in a place, I think that's what so many of survivors feel like. And I'm actually doing a workshop next month on how to find ourselves again, because we do get lost. And when I ask people in the room, what do you like to do? Some cry and say, I don't know. Some say, I used to like to ski, or maybe I used to like to read murder mysteries, but I can't do that anymore. So it's in remembering, for one thing. What did you like? What were your passions? When's the last time you knit a sweater if you like to knit? When's the last time you baked a cake if you like to bake? So by identifying for me what it is that you actually like, mm-hmm. and then taking that back slowly. So not necessarily in a I'm breaking up with a narcissist relationship, but in any relationship, you need your own passions as well as your partner. And your relationship has to be in a safe place, that if your partner says he wants to go play basketball with the guys, then that is good. You get your time too. You know, it's kind of a good thing. When it goes bad is if he's going off to play basketball and you don't trust him, or he's not trusting that you're going to go play bunko with your friends. Mm-hmm. And if that is the situation, you've lost yourself, because you've lost the ability to trust and they aren't trusting you. And that makes you feel really bad inside. Have you had people that have had that loss of self?
Absolutely. And I love the way the examples you're giving of like this road back to yourself. And it doesn't have to be some grand big thing. It's this remembering what those sparks were, so that it's one step each day coming back to yourself. So important. Because without that platform of really being with the self, how do we make quality decisions, whether it's about the relationship or about life, that really relates with what's best for us? It's just another example of where we may lose ourselves.
True. And I think there's two parts of this, if I think about it. There's the person that is in a relationship and losing themselves. The relationship might not have deteriorated to a point of breaking yet, but it's a slow progression. It's one step, it's one thing after another that you aren't speaking up for yourself. You're not making plans on yourself. You have no passions. You know, all of a sudden everything that you were is gone. That's one type of it. But then there's the person that is extricated from the relationship and starting again. And that's where they've lost all of this. And they say, how do I make new friends? Mm-hmm. I don't have any friends. Or the friends I had sided with my ex. That's a harder climb back, I think, because you've lost yourself and you're dealing with the grief of losing a partner.
Absolutely. And then we're back to that isolation piece. And none of us do well with, you know, too much time alone in our own mind without having someone to reflect back and those healthier relationships where we feel like we've got a soft place to land, where we can be heard and supported. And so that course you have coming up sounds really powerful.
I'm hoping to have it be really super fun too, because I think if people learn what makes them tick again, that passion, it just starts to blink. I might even like use a match as a, like, if I can find a match, I don't know that you can find matches anymore. Sort of like burn the match. Like it's just a burning of it coming and being found inside of you. And then to me, people can say, I want to get myself back. I want to find it. And then when they actually look at this sort of list of, well, what do you like to do? And you start to weigh things out. Then they say, what now? Mm. Like, do it. Yeah. If you like to go to the movies, go call a friend and go to the movies. Take action and start to actually, you know, go back, especially the ones that are isolated and might not have friends. I tell them to go out and join a meetup. If you have a dog, walk with other people that have a dog. And if you like karate, go do karate. You'll find people. You'll find one friend everywhere you go. So, you know, you're finding yourself in finding the things and the passions that you don't see any longer.
Absolutely. I just love the whole meetup design where you know, pop in your zip code or your postal code and you can find like-minded people. It's one of the gifts of technology, of how it removes us from that isolation and we can build our own tribe. And I think we need that so much when we're coming to find that sense of self again. It's such a strong piece of that recovery.
Yeah, it really is. I have found that, you know, people report back to me that they've gone to a meetup and it wasn't a good thing. That's why there's thousands of them.
That's it.
You know, even in what I run is a narcissistic abuse support meetup. I have two of them. But even in that, I've heard tale of others that were too triggering, were, you know, just victims barfing out their story, which is good. But it depends on where you are. So try again, no matter what you're doing or no matter what you're looking for. If it's dog walking and you didn't like those people's dogs, go to another one. You know, it's not a one size fits all. And there's so much opportunity to just try new things. But I think finding yourself is so important when you have been in an abusive relationship, because you've given up things and not set boundaries, and all of a sudden that it's like a chipping away of the real you to the point where we don't know who we are.
It is. And even in your sharing that, it makes me think, if we have a listener who's at the end point of a relationship, to almost look back, to own their part, to begin to notice, were there pieces where I was leaning in to my partner to fill some of those, you know, empty spots from my own childhood, from my own hurts, from, you know, hoping that they could somehow make it better, that their love would be the band-aid for the love that wasn't received. So until we begin to notice, how do I fill my own cup? And your examples are beautiful, from a mystery novel to giving yourself a beautiful aromatherapy bath, you know, whatever it is, we've got to start that road home. Mm-hmm. And we've got to, in my opinion, really, really look at what is my piece. Because the only person that can ever really heal those deeper pieces, those experiences, is ourself. If we reach out to try to bring another person in to do that, it's often the beginning of the end for most relationships.
Oh yeah, that was really well said, because I think that is a huge fear when people are on that edge. But as you said, look back, take an inventory of your life. And I think I want to just, you know, this isn't, you know, how to tell if you're losing yourself in a relationship, but when people are losing themselves and they're losing their friends, that's what they mean. They're being isolated very often, perhaps by the abuser, perhaps by smear campaigns, or see people are flying monkeys. And you feel so all alone. And so then there is no self. Well, who loves me if nobody loves me? You know, and that's the hardest part for people. And what I tell them is, you have to start loving yourself, you know. And if you don't make and fill up that calendar with friends, if you don't make those phone calls, if you don't say, hey, I'm kind of bored tonight, can we go have a glass of wine? Mm-hmm. You will wallow in the sadness, and we don't want you to be there. We want you to get out, and even if it's to just take a book and go to Starbucks, mm-hmm. and just sit there. Even if you don't talk to another soul, you won't feel as isolated. That's you won't it. Feel like, I didn't see anybody today. Mm-hmm. I have days like that all the time, but that's because I work from home. I'll be like, I didn't see anyone today.
Yeah. It reminds me of a lyric, actually, of I love music, and the song, I don't know it perfectly, but something about, if the phone doesn't ring and I don't go out, does that mean I cease to exist? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can start to feel that way, you know, as we stop that engagement, stop that reaching out. Am I even still really here? Do I matter? And I think our message today is, of course you matter. And that coming back home to yourself may seem like a little bit of an effort. And in the beginning, it will be, until it isn't anymore. Yeah. Until you're really surrounded by the people of your choosing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for me, I have been dating someone for about 6 weeks now.
Exciting.
Me! I have decided that I'm going to take myself on a date every weekend.
Oh, I love it.
I'm just like, you know, I still do things with my friends, but I'm like, I just feel like I want to go to this movie, and I'll just jump in my car and go, head down to the Botanic Gardens and read that book. You know, I've gone to a science museum, and it's so different. And a lot of people are afraid to do things like this by themselves. And I'm just like, I don't have to wait for someone. If they're looking at that picture in the art gallery, I can go wherever I want. Mm-hmm. It is very freeing. And then to treat myself to, you know, a nice hot chocolate or a glass of wine, or just treat myself like I was on a date. And all of a sudden, my love pool, my inside is going, you had a good day today. Thank you, Tracy. That was good.
Yes.
And I'm encouraging everyone to do that, because the best way to find yourself is to be with yourself and love yourself. And that means, hey, if I was on a date or I was going out with my friends, we would be going here, there, or there. Just go and have fun. And there's nothing shameful in being by yourself. It's quite liberating.
Well, and what a free way to find what you really do like. You know, there might be that thought that, gosh, I used to love going to the art gallery, but now I think I'd rather go to the science museum. Or, you know, you refine, what is that thing for me that lights me up, that gives me that sense of, this was a great day.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's just the key is to reclaim that passion. And if you don't have someone, just do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, people do crafts and things like that. So go to the craft store and buy some new stuff and sit down and watch a Hallmark movie and just do a craft, you know. Yeah. That will make you feel like you're back to you. So whatever it was that was your passion, you know, football season's coming up. If you love football, don't just sit home and watch it alone, but go down to a restaurant and a bar, and you don't have to drink. Just go down and hang out with other people that are going to be rooting on your team.
Yeah.
You won't feel as alone. I think there's hope in that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that sentiment because these are all leading you back home, back to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reclaiming. I love that word.
Reclaiming. It's like the water that they use in the sprinklers. We're reclaiming water. We're taking it back and we're able to make it into something that we need. We need our life back. The only person that can give you your life back is you.
Absolutely. And when we look forward towards loving again, because of course we all want to be in that sense of love and relationship, we've got such a better place to reach out from. If we're full, if we know ourselves, our likes, our dislikes, that discernment is so much more basically available to us. Right. We can go forward in such a more profound way.
Well, I think too, in when the dating situation comes around, if you are whole and you've got your own life, your own passions, mm-hmm. you're a better catch to someone. Someone's not going to want you to just like all of a sudden, you know, start dating them and decide you want to start making beer because that's what they do.
Exactly.
Let them make beer and you figure out what you want. Keep your passions separate and then you'll never lose them. It's when we give them up and go, oh, I'll try that. Sure. And it's okay to try it, but don't lose yourself.
That's it. And even Tracy, you know, this is a little separate from the topic, but I was working with a loving couple, respectful couple, but she was beginning to lose herself in their relationship by doing everything that he did. So she used to love to go to yoga. She stopped doing that. She stopped really going out with her friends. It was almost like whatever he wasn't a dominating person, but her need was simply, I just want to be with him. Mm-hmm. And so it was very stressful for him mm-hmm. because there was no time and space for him to do the things that lit him up without feeling guilty that, you know, mm-hmm. she would be upset, or as he would say, is it worth the price to go play golf with my friends? Because I know what I'll be coming home to. Mm-hmm. And so even within relationships where there isn't maybe narcissistic evidence going on, it's still so much healthier for relationships when I've got my hobbies and you've got yours, and we come together at the end of the day with new things to talk about.
Absolutely. So
we're not leaning into each other too much.
Yes. And on that, which was a perfect explanation, but it triggered me to the person that is getting involved in a narcissistic relationship. And let's give me a hobby that you like.
Well, I love yoga. I love hiking. I love biking.
Okay. And on mine, we'll say I like to eat cupcakes and bake. I'll just say those things. So if we were to meet as a couple and I just said, oh, I want to hike and I want to do everything that you do, I'm losing everything I've done. Yeah. And what happens with an abusive person is they want you to get rid of all of the things that you love, all your passions. And no two people like are going to love the same thing. It would be almost impossible. So when you find someone that says, oh, I like to eat cupcakes and bake too, there's a red flag there. They should have their own interests. You know, and if it's always the exact same ones that you're saying, red flag, you know, they've got to have it. Hold on to that you've got yours and you're willing to share whatever your passion is with them. If they want to go do yoga with you, great. Mm-hmm. But you want them to go and say, I still want to go horseback riding. And you go, thanks, have a good time. Mm-hmm. That's what makes a relationship strong, is in, like in that perfect couple example that you just said, mm-hmm. it actually pulls them apart if you're yes. too much doing the same thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It really makes sense.
Good. Mm-hmm. Now I know what you like to do, too.
I'll come over for cupcakes next time I'm
here. I was going to say, now you know she's the healthy one and I'm the one eating cupcakes.
Oh, I love a good cupcake, though, let me tell you.
There you go. I used to love baking. Oh, my goodness. And I think while I have given up that passion, my son is 24. I don't make birthday cakes like I did, Superman and whatever. And I don't miss it. It's like, I still have the passion, but I just, it's like my things have changed. So people have to realize that, you know, that passion I had to bake wedding cakes and cupcakes and things like that was a sign of the times. I had a small child, and that was, made me so happy to do that for him and his friends. But ultimately, you know, it's changed. That's, and it's okay. I don't have to go running back to that saying, oh, I have nothing to do, I think I'll go make a cupcake. Well, who am I going to give it to? Yeah. You know, so you have to understand that your passions are going to change over time. And if you don't know what they are, find one.
That's it. We're always evolving. And it's another example of why it's so important to stay connected to yourself so you can evolve with time instead of noticing what the other person wants or needs. Yeah. So yeah, it's another way of just staying close to what is that spark of life for us.
Exactly. Exactly. And don't get lost in yourself and hold on to you, because there's nothing more important than you when we're, you know, alone in the earth, all we have is you. So have some passions, have some fun, and enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. Because if we sit there and let ourselves get lost, and we do for others more than they ever do for us, as a narcissistic relationship might end, we're left holding a very empty bag. And that's very scary. So don't ever keep your bag full of all the things that you like, and don't ever let it just, that's all right, I don't need to do my passions. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate this. I love having you here. You are such a super smart, wonderful, and loving person.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy. Well, I guess that's why we connect so easily, because I see all those same things in you.
Yay. Thank you, my dear. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great.